Well, if you open the Bible to page 854, thank you for being at Tuesday Bible Lunch today. August, can you believe it is August? Gracious me, August the 2nd. Boy, where has this year gone? Well, you know, one of the things I never do on Tuesday is try to have a series because everybody's not here every Tuesday, but that's true on Sunday, you know. In fact, some weeks I think I could repeat the sermon I preached the previous Sunday and two-thirds of church was never heard it. You say, well, they not there? Well, yeah, but you can be here and not hear it. I mean, you know, that thing. But be that as it may, I don't do that. Sometimes I have an idea and I may work on that idea. But last Tuesday, somewhere in the midst of what I was doing, I mentioned my 10 verses. And actually, that really was a spinoff in one of the morning services, like the week or two before that, not even in the sermon, but in some way, maybe the offertory time, I mentioned something about my 10 verses. And then last week, I said more about that in here. You know, I will say something about my 10 verses. First of all, I mean, you really may not care anything about my 10 verses, but that's okay. But I do want to say something about my 10 verses. They didn't start out to be 10 verses. That wasn't my goal at all. But as you read your Bible, there are verses that you know you need every day in your life. We all do. And I decided some time back and I had 4 or 5 verses that I, you know, but I took some verses. I thought I need to have verses that I read every day that will get me going in the right direction to do what I'm going to be trying to do that day. And I think I mentioned in here last week when I mentioned that, I said I would share 8 of those verses. 2 of them I wouldn't share. They were too personal. Well, actually, then people began to call my office and want Jennifer to find out what those 2 secret verses. And they didn't care anything about the other 8 verses. Well, now let me go on record saying she has all 10 verses. And if you're interested in my verses, the reason I said they were too personal, it was not like there was some hidden sin, but it's that they wouldn't make sense to you. You'd think, how in the world, if he were going to, and they're in the order that I think I need them for every day. For example, my very first verse is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, God's faith and justice gives, da, 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 da. My second verse is back over in the book of Proverbs in chapter 28, verse 13 and 14. And it kind of goes with that verse. But I have this stuff, like then I go over in Psalms, you know, where it says, you know, about the Bible as a lamp and a light and open our eyes that we might see wonderful things. So I really have these things put together in a way that I think that I need them. And I want to say, you know, you don't need to have my 10 verses, but I do think this. We ought to have some Bible verses that we kind of let guide us. Now, I know every verse in the Bible guides us, but we're not going to read every verse in the Bible every day. And what I do this in the NIV. In my daily reading, that's what I read. I preach out of the New King James, but I personally, in my daily reading, I read out of the, and I memorize these verses, but I actually turn to them. I could quote every one of them, but I want to see them with my eyes. And I've just learned, I'm of the old school. You do know I'm of the old school, don't you? I'm of the old school. Like I still preach with a shirt and a coat and, you know, shoes and socks and just some of these. I mean, this new group, you know, they're trying to reinvent the church. But anyway, that's a sermon for another time. But I just like to, you know, I like to see what I'm reading. I like to hold it in my hand. I like to mark it. This is just who I am. But different folks do different ways. That's not the deal. But there's a power about looking at a verse and reading in the Bible. And it's amazing. Think about this. I do the same 10 every day. Takes me about 30 to 35 minutes normally to do my 10 verses because I don't just read the verse. Like I may read one verse one day and it won't say a lot to me. And then another day, that verse might talk to me for 10 minutes and I'll pray over it. So, and this is just how I began my time with God. Now, one of those 10 verses that I love so much, and I love the way the NIV translates the verse. It's in Philippians chapter 4. You know the verse. It says, do not be anxious for anything, Like when I just read that much, I think I'm already guilty. I need to go back and pray 1 John 1:9. Because many times when I ever get over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, which is way into my list, I'm already anxious about it. So I'm already anxious. And now I'm reading the verse that says, do not be anxious about anything. But here's what that verse goes on to say. But in every situation. Now boy, that covers the gamut, does it not? In every situation. I think I mentioned last Monday, I was driving my car where I wound up needing to buy a new air conditioner. Dottie told me I should have traded that car, but she just, several times since, she said, I told you. But anyway, I've got verses to cover that too, okay? And then from there, I went to the doctor. I was anxious. I mean, you say, well, what's wrong with you? Well, that's another, same thing is wrong with you. I'm a human. But that verse says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Now that covers it. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And like when I read those verses, many times I'm anxious about stuff and I'm reading the verse. I'm reading the verse that says, do not be anxious about anything. Oh, yeah, but man, I'm already anxious about some things. Well, I just have to ask the Holy Spirit to stop and say, there's no need to read the rest of these verses. I've got to get this thing taken care of. Now, here's the deal. Here's the issue. Here's the thing. You know, how does it say? Do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by what? By prayer and petition, which is a form of prayer, with thanksgiving, which is an attitude of prayer, da 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 da. Well, so this whole deal about prayer. Now, you all pray. We all pray. But listen to me. There's a key to this whole deal about praying, because, you know, if that verse just said, do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, you know, here's what you do. Well, it tells you what to do. You pray. Now, here's the question. What is it about prayer that helps us when anxiety intrudes uninvited into our minds? Have you ever noticed how that happens? Don't you wish that, I've thought of this, I wish I could fix it some kind of way where, like, I could just say, like, every night from 8 to 8:30, I will worry. Wouldn't that be neat? Or maybe if I don't like that hour, I could pick another 30 minutes and just say, okay, I'm gonna wire myself up so at a certain little time every day, maybe it'd be 10 o'clock in the morning, say from 10 to 10:30, I'm just going to sit in my study and worry. Just think of everything in the world I can worry about. And get that out of my system, then I won't fool with it again until 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, it doesn't work that way. We're not wired that way. We're human beings, and we have things, they're real things, that make us anxious. And God knows that. God made us. And so what? Well, He tells us not just what to do, He tells us how to do it. And it's this whole thing about prayer. Now, if you look with me in your Bible on page 854, you're in Matthew, you're in chapter number 6. And you know when you just say Matthew chapter 6 or 5 or 7, that's Matthew's record, the Sermon on the Mount. Starts out Matthew 5 with the Beatitudes. Now, in this sermon, Jesus has a little section of this sermon kind of like a medley. I mean, in this sermon, He deals with a lot of different things. But in this chapter, if you look in chapter 6, down in verse 25 and following, He has a little section of His sermon on prayer. Very interesting. You know it so well. He said, I say to you, do not worry. Oh, there it is again. About your life. And He talks about things that we're not to worry about, what we're going to put on. And He talks about the birds of the air, and we're more valuable than they are. So he kind of goes down this clothing. And I love verse 27. It tells us what the value of worry is. It says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? The value of worrying is zero. It's just, it's zero. There's no value to worrying. In fact, it works in reverse. And then he kind of goes on and says, why do you worry about your clothes and da-da-da about the lilies of the field and the things put in the oven and all that? But then he comes down here. In verse 30, maybe it's a good pickup place. Says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31, therefore, do not worry. Now, there it is again. I'm not going to dare ask for a raise of hands. I wouldn't think there'd be a one of us in this room that from time to time don't worry. And sometimes this thing can be a serious matter. It can be a serious matter. It's a real thing. And things we worry about can be very valid things. It's not like they're evil things. And they just invade our minds uninterrupted. I never invite worry in. Somehow worry has a key. Worry knows how to get in. Well, Jesus goes on to say, you know, in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things be added unto you. And then he winds up this little section. He's coming at us again. Therefore, do not worry. And there it is again. And then he talks about that. Now, in this little part of this sermon, there are three key words that will help you if you will remember these three key words. And when you are praying, if you can keep these words in your mind, it will make a huge difference. Key word number one is in verse 32, almost the end of the verse. It is the word Father, or Heavenly Father. If you notice that Father is a capital F. Now, the first key word is Father. And here's what we need to understand when we pray. This really helps me, is that the Heavenly Father is 100% trustworthy. Now, but here's the deal. The Heavenly Father is also unpredictable. That's one of the big differences between our earthly Father and Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father is 100% trustworthy, but the Heavenly Father is unpredictable. Now, like the earthly Father, for example, if it were within his power, he would never let any of his children like have cancer or have some illness. Of course, it's not in his power. Now, the Heavenly Father, it is in his power. He's omnipotent. But there are times we don't always understand whatever. But the fact of the matter is we believe God's sovereign, but yet the Heavenly Father allows things to come into our lives. And yet when all that's going on, that it just helps us to remember, though, that as we pray, we're praying to the Heavenly Father who is 100% trustworthy. And whether we really understand it at the moment, whether it makes any sense at the moment, we just know this. The Heavenly Father is always going to be there for us. We can trust Him in that. And whether we understand it or don't understand it, I love that verse in Deuteronomy 29, 29. That's an easy verse to memorize. Deuteronomy 29, 29 says the secret things belong to the Lord. There are just some things in this life we're never going to know the answer. I was thinking of Billy Graham when we were just coming back from the Cove a few weeks ago. Now, there Billy Graham is, and his daughter was giving our little group an update on Billy Graham. She said, well, he's just pretty much completely bedfast. He's pretty much completely bedfast. Said, still has his mind, but he can't do anything for himself. Has to have 24/7 care. And but she said, the daughter that was giving that report, said, you know, he still talks about God. He still talks about sin and talks about the very things he preached about all those many years. So his faith in his God, who's trustworthy, has not wavered. Let me tell you the second key word. It's the word faith. And you see that word back up in verse 30, the last word. O you of little faith. I feel I'm in that group so oftentimes. I'll tell you about faith. You know, faith has to be developed. There's an old saying that says, faith, like film, is developed in the dark. And that's so true. Faith, like film, is developed in the dark. And when we go through dark times and we keep our faith in the promises of God, what happens, we find that God, who is trustworthy, gets us through a lot of things, or he solves a lot of problems. And you see, what I believe is faith is built through trust in God's promises. Like as you just trust God for his promises and you see these things working out, not maybe all the time, but you see them working out so many times, you begin to realize, you know, God is trustworthy. I can really trust His promises. Dottie was telling me as recently as yesterday, she had gone somewhere and was talking to this guy that he's in business, and he was sharing with her that he'd been trying to buy the building where his business is. And it was tied up with a bunch of family or something. He'd been trying to buy it for years and was just willing to pay probably way more than the building was worth. And he just, about 3 months ago, he just said, I'm just going, just maybe it's not God's will that I get this thing. I've been trying to buy it several years and I'm offering to pay more than the thing's worth. I really want to buy the building. And it didn't work for him. And he just said, I just finally thought, well, I'm just going to quit fooling with the thing. And if God wants me to have it one day, somehow it'll work out, but I'm through thinking about it. About 2 or 3 months go by, and one of the family members called and said, you know, it's an interesting thing. You've been trying to buy this building, and said the kids have all kind of been, you know, bent sideways about this and that and yonder, and said, we finally got this thing worked. I said, if you still want the building, we'll sell you the building, and here's the price. And it was substantially less than what he would have paid a few months ago. And Dottie was sharing with me that story, and I thought, well, now, you know, sometimes when things aren't working out, it's just like we think, well, you know, God's not really listening. Well, God's God, and I'm not saying it always works out like that, but, you know, in life, so many times, as we just keep our faith in God's promises, it's amazing how these things work out. So when we pray, let us remember, we are praying to a Heavenly Father who's 100% trustworthy. And He's saying to us, you have faith in My promises. And then the third key word is the word first. And it's down in verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God. You know, if you analyze what you worry about, really, worry is what you've not given over to God. That's really what worry is. I mean, we're still trying to do it. And sometimes it's beyond, we can't do it. But that's really, you know, when you just boil it down, worry is what you've not given over to God. And of course, you know that verse, cast all your anxieties upon God if He cares for you, over in 1 Peter chapter 5. It's a great, great verse. But I just would say to you today, as I say to my own self, that, you know, when we're going through things and we're worrying, what do we do? Well, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, how? By prayer. It's okay, I got to pray. That'll do it. Well, it will do it if you keep some things in mind. You're praying to a Heavenly Father who's 100% trustworthy. He not only is that, He can do anything. And if we'll keep our faith in His promises and realize that if we really can, you know, just consume with worry about something, that thing is just something we've not turned over to God. See, most things we worry about, if we could do something about them, we would be already done it. That's where faith comes in. God gives us faith for what we do not understand. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I thought, let's suppose you and I are on an airplane. Let's say we're going to the Holy Land. And, you know, to go to the Holy Land, like some people say, I want to go to the Holy Land, but I don't like to fly. I said, well, you probably don't want to make that trip. I mean, there's just some way you can get there. And then somebody that's afraid of flying will say, well, now look, do you fly over the water? Well, I solved that problem this time. I had us flying all night. Nobody knew. Yeah. But, like, think about this. Let's say we're going to Israel, and let's say we fly up to Newark, which is what we did this time. And we get up there and leave about 5 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time. Now we're going to make that long flight. We're going to be on some land for a little bit, but then we're going to turn right. You can feel the plane turning. And even though now it's dark and you can't look out the window and see anything, things too high. But what you know is that plane is about to begin its journey over the ocean. Now, I wonder what would happen if we're on the plane and just about the time that I know that we're about to go over, start getting on top of the water, we fix the flow of the ocean, be there doing that much of the night. I mash that little button for the flight attendant, and the flight attendant comes back and I said, listen, I would like for you to go up in the cockpit and just be sure these pilots are awake before we really get too far out in the water. Number one, she would be very exasperated. I mean, she'd say, we've got us a loony toony on here. But let me tell you what else we'd do. It would really be kind of an insult, would it not? Can you imagine the flight attendant going up and however you get in the door, they've got away. And the pilot say, what's the situation? He said, well, the passenger just wants to be sure you guys are awake. Well, I mean, he's professional people. Now, it would be much better to just get on the airplane and relax and say, you know what? Even though I've never met these pilots that fly in this airplane, I have chosen to fly on this airline. And I'm just going to believe and trust that these pilots are not only awake, but that they will get us across the ocean and land us safely when we come into Tel Aviv. Now, you know, you think about that a moment. In a way, if I can say it this way, it really helps me. In a sense, like God is our pilot. And if we will just pray and believe and trust Him. We don't see Him. We don't see God. But what we can know is He's there, and He will always get us across the water and land us safely where we need to be. Could I have an amen to that? And Father God, Lord, as I pray for families every day and pray with families every day, but God, I pray with some families that are just really going through a time of unknown about a lot of things. And God, the truth of the matter is, we are so blessed. The Bible does tell us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Just to let you know, God, I pray today if some are going through some things and they're worrisome and they're just kind of gnawing away. They're real things. It's not like a sinful thing, just going through things. We can become very anxious and uptight about it. God, remind us, even though we can't see You, we know this, God, You're not asleep. And You, as our pilot, so to speak, will always take us across the oceans, whatever they may be, and land us safely on the other side. God, I pray today, even in this room, for some, that prayer is really their prayer. God, thank You for our Tuesday Bible lunch. I thank You for Nadia and all those who week after week prepare the meal. I thank You for the volunteers that come in every week, God, and they do so much work getting everything set up for these who come. And Lord, I thank You for those who come. They are the key to the Tuesday Bible lunch. May when we leave here today, we just say in our heart, I'm glad I went today. God, we may not have a worry in the world at this moment, but if we'll just look around even today, we'll bump into some folks. We'll be around some people that are worrying, and they need to be reminded the solution is prayer, just like Jesus taught. In His name I pray. Amen.